Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read a couple of verses there, and then I'm going to read one verse out of 1 John chapter 3. But in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. He was translated. He was raptured, if you please. And was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken up, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, John the Beloved, John the Elder by this time in his life, he said, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. In studying the prophet, or the man Enoch, and he was a prophet, we'll look into that more next week, I find two words that stand out in the material and that we have available. And there's not a whole lot of material available in the scripture about Enoch, but what is there is certainly potent. But there are two words. One is walk, and one is please. In this passage, Hebrews chapter 11, but without faith it is impossible to please him. In verse 5, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So what does it mean? What would pleasing God look like? Are you pleasing God? That's a question we ought to ask ourselves, all of us. A clean heart is wrought by keeping the commandments of God and doing those things that please God. If a child disobeys his father, he displeases his father. And the only way he can please his father is by obeying him. And the same is true with God. If we're going to please God, we must obey God. And note another factor along that line as well. A father cannot reward his child if the child disobeys. The father cannot grant the child's request, not if he wants to teach that child good behavior. We should not reward bad behavior. Common sense and biblical teaching would say that you reward good behavior. And neither can God. The only way we can receive the things we ask is to obey God. He cannot reward our unfaithfulness or our disobedience. If we are to please God, then we must do that which pleases God. We're not talking about salvation here. We're not talking about doing something to earn your salvation or to earn the grace of God. If you could earn it, it wouldn't be grace. It would be reward for works. That's not the way it works. We cannot just choose anything and say, oh, this pleases God. And the reason why is because there are certain things that don't please God. And the Word of God is so very clear in many, many places, the things that do not please God. God is not some tottering old grandfather with a long beard who is going to indulge his grandchildren and great-grandchildren and anything they want to do, just, well, that's okay with Grandpa, you know how he is. God's not like that. There are things that displease him as well as things that please him. There's a difference. Through his word and his spirit, he shows us what is pleasing. So there's always an insert in your bulletin. On one side of it, you can write and make notes. And I hope that you will do that this morning because I want to give you outline. Some points I'll spend more time on than others. Others I'll just sort of quickly move over. But I want to show you this morning some things that are pleasing to God. Number one, these are not in any particular order. They're not prioritized in any way as far as I'm concerned. But number one, you please God when you ask him for the right things. You please him when you ask him for the right things. You remember in 1 Kings, after the temple was built and the dedication, and Solomon prays, and he says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord. That prayer pleased the Lord. So Solomon had asked this thing. He asked that he may discern between good and evil. He asked for an understanding heart for his people. He asked to be able to judge so great a people. And the Lord was delighted with Solomon's request. You see, he goes on to say that he had not asked for personal benefits. He had not asked for long life. He had not asked for wealth. He had not asked for the death of his enemies, which was common for a new king. Kill off all your enemies as you start your administration. God was pleased at what Solomon asked. In James 4:3, we're told that we are to ask, but we ask amiss many times. James 4 and verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. You miss the point, that you may spend it on your pleasures. All right? To ask amiss is acting in an evil manner, motivated by personal gratification, selfish desires. Unbelievers seek the things of their own pleasure, not the honor and glory of God. That doesn't please God. In James chapter 1, While I'm there, let me turn James chapter 1 and verses 5 and 6. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. What are we talking about? We're talking about asking for right things that please God. Your prayer life, the things that you ask for. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So number one, I hope you wrote it down. You please God when you ask him for right things. These are all general, okay? Number two, you please God when you are separated for him. When you're separated for him. And the example that Paul would use is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No man that warreth, in other words, goes to war, no man that's a soldier, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Just as a soldier is called to duty, is completely severed from the normal affairs of civilian life, so also must the good soldier of Jesus Christ refuse to allow the things of the world to distract him. And he removes himself from those things in order that he might be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In chapter 4 of James, I may have read that a moment ago. No, here it is. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Are you separated unto the Lord? Enoch walked with God. Enoch didn't walk with the world of his day. It's not difficult to identify the doctrine of separation at work in this relationship between Enoch and God. Enoch had made a decision that his loyalties would lie with God, not with the wicked and corrupt society of his day, but with Almighty God. You see, the society in which Enoch was living at the time is in that downward spiral. He's the seventh from Adam. And when you reach 10, you're at Noah. And the earth was full of wickedness and violence. That is spoken of, I think, in Genesis 6 or Genesis 7. But he didn't live in that environment. He was in the world, but he was not of the world. He didn't take up with the ways of the world of his day. But he was separated unto the Lord. His choice of walking with God led him to a place of separation from the world. Now, Jesus told his disciples, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're not of the world. You're not to be like the world. You're not to act like the world. And I could go on and list a whole long list of do's and don'ts, but I don't want you to get the idea that I'm talking about legalism, because I'm not. With each day's walk, and we'll talk about that next week, Lord willing, God became more pronounced and more prominent in Enoch's life until at last, in effect, God said, I'm going to make your separation unto me permanent. Come on and live with me. You please God when you are separated for Him. Number three, you please God when you're wholly yielded to God. When you're wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly, completely yielded to God. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing. Yeah, well-pleasing in His sight. In other words, what God is doing in your life, my life, as it works its way out, becomes visible, becomes a testimony, that as God looks upon that, it's well-pleasing unto Him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Wholly yielded to God. Another verse that you might write down for that would be Romans chapter 12. Some of you probably already thought of that. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, H-O-L-Y, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Which is your reasonable service. And that means rational. It's not something off the wall. God is saying presenting yourself to Him is a rational decision. It comes from the Greek word logic. It's logical. Presenting ourselves unto the Lord, yielding ourselves to the Lord. The world would say that's illogical. God says that's logical, that's reasonable, that's acceptable. That pleases Him. God is making us ready to fulfill His purpose, both here and now and in eternity. Well, I must hurry quickly. Number four, you please God when you are walking with God. And I want to spend more time on that next week, because that's the other word that I think are prime words in Enoch's life. Pleasing God and walking with God. Enoch walked, Genesis 5:24, and Enoch walked with God and he was not. He disappeared, for God took him. Walking with God. When the scripture refers to walking with God, it refers to one's manner of life. We might say our lifestyle. Do we have a God-like lifestyle? Or is our lifestyle the way of the world? Paul prayed that the Colossian believers and us would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so they could walk That is, live in a manner worthy of the Lord. To the Ephesians, he said, walk no longer just as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, but be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you. Walk to please God. Number five, I'll say more about that next week. Number five, you please God when you're praising God. You please God when you're praising God. Psalm 69, verses 30 and 31, I will praise the name of the Lord with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. Now, what in the world does that mean? Singing the Lord's song, praising his name in song, magnifying him with thanksgiving, is better than sacrificing bulls and goats and heifers and turtle doves and grain on the altars at the temple. And the sacrificial system was important because it was always pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's saying here that God is pleased when we're praising him. Praising him in song and with thanksgiving. God desires the praises and the thanksgiving of his people rather than the sacrifices of animals and grains on the Old Testament altars. We're all priests unto God, Peter teaches us in 1 Peter chapter 2. And one of the ministries of a priest was to offer sacrifices. Sacrifice of praise, sacrifice of thanksgiving is to be offered. Number six, you please God when you yield to the Spirit. When you're yielded to the Spirit. Just reading some verses. Romans chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And by flesh, he's not talking about your body. He's not talking about this flesh. He's talking about the old man, the old nature. If we walk in that old nature, that old sinful nature, that's at war with God, enmity with God. There's no peace in that. But when we walk in the Spirit, that is according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, who as a believer dwells in us, when we follow that leading, we please God. Because so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, we're not talking about perfection here. But we're talking about the dominance of the Spirit of God in your life and His working in your life. That pleases God. What was that? Number six? Number seven. You please God when you are applying your faith in Him. When you are applying your faith in Him. Because see, Hebrews 11:6, we read it earlier, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, faith there, we're not talking about salvation there. We're saved by grace through faith, okay? But we also live by faith. And I think that's what the writer is talking about here in verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it talks about living by faith. Living by faith. See, we're saved by faith. We're to live by faith. Saving faith brings us justification. Living by faith under the direction of the Spirit brings us sanctification, brings holiness, God-likeness into our lives. And that would please Him. It's impossible to please Him without faith. By faith is meant a living, active faith, a faith that knows and follows God, communes and fellowships with God. Doesn't matter what you do in life. Without faith, you cannot please God. You could sing the most beautiful songs. You could give great amounts of money. Name it. But that all pales in comparison to living by faith. That's what God wants to see. He is and a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And number eight, the last one. You please God when you're bearing fruit. When you're bearing fruit. And this comes out of John chapter 15, verses 7 through 10. In verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. In that passage, without taking a lot of time, in that passage you have no fruit, you have fruit, you have more fruit, you have much fruit. Jesus takes us through those growth steps in bearing fruit. 10 times in this prayer, He uses the word abide. If you abide in me, abide in me. It's maintaining an unbroken connection. When a branch is severed from the tree, from the main stem, it no longer abides. It no longer has life flowing into it. It cannot bear fruit. It dies, and good for nothing, the scripture says, but to be burned. So bearing fruit, bearing spiritual fruit, is certainly pleasing unto the Lord. A constant, active relationship between the believer and the Lord. If the resultant life is to be productive. This is not an exhaustive list. It's not a profound list. But I think it does touch upon some issues in Scripture that show us how to please God in our daily walk. And Enoch had that testimony that he pleased God. I'm excited about preaching next Sunday, Lord willing. What's it mean to walk with God? Are you walking with God? That's part of pleasing God. But let's break that one down next week. How do we walk so as to please God? Father, thank you for your word today. Just some simple, practical issues whereby we can judge our spiritual standing and the effectiveness of our lives if we really want to please you. Really want to please you. Lord, may that be the desire of each heart here today, to please you, to do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Lord, keep us, hold us back, restrain us when we have a tendency to move in a direction that would not be God glorifying, that would not enhance our spiritual testimony, but do damage to our testimony. Lord, protect us. And help us to walk in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. May we, Father, covet and pray for the testimony that Enoch had, that he pleased God. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name, amen. This is an old song, but it came to my mind this week as I was studying the word walk in Scripture, and then I came across the word please, and there's a relationship between